Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes.
And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said,
what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, David.
Hello, Tim, and welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys. I noticed I didn't reintroduce you last time, and that sort of got over the problem that we often have, where I say, with me, David Baddiel, and you screw up
with
saying...
With Tim.
You screw up like you're doing now. In a way that started, I think, as a genuine inability to introduce yourself, and now has become self-conscious and quite clearly contrived. But well, I didn't do it last.
No, and I was thinking, is that because we haven't done it for a long time?
Well, no, it's partly because we said hello at exactly the same time. So I kind of felt that covered the hello. Yeah. I also think, if you're listening to this, I mean, it's possible that you've come to it very late, but you probably know that it's with me, David Baddiel. Exactly. You probably know that, so we can skip it, can't we?
Yeah, but I think when you watch the two Ronnies, who I think I've heard us compared to many times, as in they were so much better than us.
Yeah,
that's generally the comparison I hear. Is that they still introduced each other in a slightly funny way? Good night for me, and you knew it was coming, but you sort of. So I think
our catchphrase is with me, David Baddiel, and with me, Tim Higgs, in the way, and it's good night for me, and it's good night from him. Was the catchphrase of the two Ronnies? I don't.
But like, if you're a massive pop star, rock star, and you end a concert, don't you go, "I've been"? Does this happen? I've been Elton John.
I sometimes still say, "I've been David Baddiel." Good night, and I kind of think like, "Yeah, why am I doing that?"
Because why are you doing that?
Because people probably know that by the time. I mean, if they didn't know it, it's not weird that they're there. It's certainly weird they don't know it after 2 hours of.
Well, that's what
comedy.
I'm getting at. Really, it's just a sort of formality,
it's a punctuation thing.
Yeah, I think.
And also, they can't see us, so for all they know. You know,
yeah, it's also
it's
worth
not
confirming.
You, it's a Tim Higgs impersonator.
Yes, it's worth.
There are quite a few now on the market.
Exactly. And also, there probably is someone out there. There definitely is someone who sounds almost identical to me. I don't know who it is. There'll be someone out there, won't there?
Yeah, I wonder who that is who sounds identical to
you. It's someone we've never
met,
right? But there'll be someone who you could find whose voice is indistinguishable from mine.
Yeah, well, you've got quite a distinctive voice. But
you think...
Yeah.
Do you not get on, it's not so much now, but I do this, certainly when we could get on tubes in a sort of routine way, particularly on the tube, because often a tube has a sort of high concentration of faces, doesn't it?
Mm.
I mean, obviously attached to bodies.
Yeah.
But in one go. And I used to look at faces, and I'm looking forward to when I can do this again, and think it's absolutely extraordinary that how everybody's face is different.
Yes.
And not just different in the carriage, sort of intra-carriage, if you like.
Yeah.
But you can go on that carriage a million times and it can be different people, and still no one quite looks like... I know people look a bit like someone else, but they don't really look... You know.
It is very amazing that humans have an ability to distinguish one face from another when faces actually, in terms of what's on them, are very,
there's
very similar.
There's, I mean, what are the levers? A mouth, a nose, and...
And eyes.
Right.
But and not, face
not,
shape.
There's not much to play with, is there?
Ears. Hair. Hair's a big deal.
Okay, but...
But yeah, okay. No. There's
how many types of hair are there?
It's actually tiny increments of difference, but humans are very alive to them. And this reminds me of something I often think, which is people who don't believe in evolution, of which there are some, why do they think that animals have got faces like ours? Like, why do they think that's the case?
Because God put them there.
But why would God do that?
Bored?
Well, that seems odd. Like, why? Why did he do it? Like,
what's the face thing you're getting at?
Well, animals look quite like us. Like, even when I look at my cat, I think it's got the same basic idea, eyes, a nose and a mouth, or whatever.
And therefore, where's that Darwinian...
No, they're related to us. We're all from the same basic genome. Us and all the animals are all from the same basic genome. That's why...
Great Dexy's song, that, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's why they've got the same faces, essentially. That's why we all got the same two eyes, nose and a mouth thing. You know, you have to go really far into...
A frog?
Even frogs have got two eyes and a nose. Yeah, okay. Right, that basic structure is because we're all from every life on Earth.
I see what you're getting at.
All evolved from the same basic amoeba.
By the way, I believe that. Sorry, you're not converting.
Yeah,
me.
But
it's an interesting.
If you believe, like, I don't know quite why God created the animals. If you don't believe in evolution,
well, I suppose what they would say is, Picasso's work was always quite similar. That's what God does. He loves faces.
Well, he put eyes all over the place and noses and mouths.
But you know what I mean? Like, all of McCartney's work is a bit like that.
But why did God create the animals? Assuming that evolution doesn't exist, if you're an idiot, why did God create all those animals? Like, I did read once, someone told me, and this always stuck in my mind, that God created most animals as mates for Adam, because he created Adam first, right?
Sure.
Doesn't create Eve for a bit.
Right.
Instead, he tries out a bunch of other things that Adam might like before he makes a woman who's really more like Adam than the other ones. And Adam names the animals as they come to him. And that's one reason this person told me, I think he was quite young, that some animals have got quite strange names, because he was quite annoyed at the idea of this animal being his mate. So, for example, this big fat animal suddenly appears, and he goes, hippopotamus, because he really doesn't want to have sex with that. And that's the name that God gives it, apparently.
That does seem quite convincing.
Yeah, it's very convincing.
But you could equally argue, I am absolutely a Darwinian, so don't get, you could just sort of help the argument. You could equally say, well, why didn't God create the Zagatron?
Is that like Zeppotron? Is that a big TV company?
You should say that's a reference to a label in a TV company, just for those that don't. No, what I mean is there are things that God didn't... You could say, why did he create the animals? Well, think of all the things he could have created that didn't. I mean, he didn't, so he just...
What is the Zagatron in your mind?
Well, the honest truth is... Zagatron is a name I have referenced before.
Oh, have you? Okay.
Because when I was...
Is this going to be a childhood story?
No, well, it's just when I was late teens. Yeah. I remember being slightly upset.
This is quite a long time after the Skeletrix disappointment.
It was, for listeners of the last podcast. I remember thinking, the only disappointing thing about being born now, because broadly being, or being alive as it was there in the 80s, I had a pretty early, I think, recognition that life was getting better. So it was better than being born in Victorian times. And better than, so it's a good time.
Recently it's got worse.
Well, it's not brilliant at the moment, but I think overall it's better to have COVID now than 20 years ago, isn't it?
Yes.
Anyway, I remember thinking, the only thing is, the music I like, like the Beatles, for example, they were experimenting, suddenly they're playing with a sitar, and isn't that amazing? And no one had ever done it before, and putting classical music. And now there's not only no combinations of music that will surprise people, that's just a bit disappointing, there's also never going to be a new instrument.
Is that what the Zagatron is?
And I remember talking to my friend Piers and saying, we should invent it's the Zagatron.
And what does it look like?
Well, it's by definition incredibly hard to come up with what it looks like, isn't it? Because it'll only be like,
so have you actually got something in mind? Because I have something here.
It's part guitar, it's part piano.
Right, oh, is it?
But that's just a piano and a guitar.
Okay, so Dean Friedman, do you know who it is?
I feel like I do, but
Dean
do
Friedman sung Thank Your Lucky Stars.
Okay.
And you can thank your lucky stars that we're not as smart as we like to think we are, which for younger listeners, which we don't have.
I remember a different tune, but...
Yeah, no, it was that tune. was a novelty hit in... A bit unfair if Dean's listening to this, but anyway, in about 1983.
Right.
And... He was on my sitcom, my much not watched sitcom, Badil Syndrome.
Haven't seen
it. It's a hilarious episode. The idea is that Dean Friedman plays in the local club.
Right.
And all the characters go and see it, and they ironically join in with the song. And then Dean sees them, and he meets them afterwards, and he thinks they're big fans, so they have to pretend to be fans of Dean Friedman for the entire show. But anyway, Dean himself is on it, is on the show, and he's a very nice bloke. I found out, as he told me, that he makes weird instruments for children, right? And I'm going to see if I can find
which
any
are
of them
like
now.
Hybrids of
And they're called things like the Google Humph. But I'm going to see if I can.
I'm interested to hear what he's got, but I don't. That feels like. Am I wrong about this? That's using existing instruments to create new. And
The Music Atrium is a collection of giant whimsical musical instruments. Okay, look, I'm going to have to actually play the video. I'm sorry about this. So, Dean Friedman Productions, here we go. Let's see if we can... The Music Atrium.
So what do we got here?
A musical playground for kids. Can you hear this at all? This is in England, apparently. The Children's Music Museum in Halifax. Oh, yes, okay. The Booble. What you can hear at the moment are the Booble, the Honkblat, the Boing Da Boing, the Jingle Jingle, the Jingle Lingle Lily, the Tone Stones, and the Laser Harp. And... Unbeknownst to me, they actually exist in a in Halifax.
That is extraordinary.
And there are people in Halifax at this museum. Presumably, saying, yeah, you can come here and you can see the Dean Friedman musical instruments. You can see the Hoobalblatt and the Zagatron.
Not since I lived in Newcastle have I seen. But
terrible
I
noise.
Think
they all make
that's amazing.
Noise.
That's really interesting. But what I think that does is prove my point.
Yeah, that it's really hard to make a new musical
instrument. Yeah, and that what he's doing brilliantly, by the sense, is basically doing combinations. But if someone did a whole album using that stuff, you'd think, that's a bit like Pet Sounds. You know, like it's not going to move up. And my hope was that the Zagatron would sort of be not like a combination of a piano and guitar, as I said, but more just like, oh, wow, you're doing that with that. That's, no one's ever thought of that.
Right.
In the way that... I suppose a sitar on a pop song was just like, what the... That's not supposed to happen.
Yes. In and pop music, it's very hard for anyone to do anything really new.
It's anymore. And maybe in the... Segueing, as we did last time, to Bowie...
Well, you've mentioned him.
Maybe whatever else we think about the 1980s and onwards, with some exceptions, it was just impossible for him to surprise and to lead a wave. And so we just all thought... Oh, can you do that thing that nobody's ever thought? Oh, you still... Oh, you've lost that ability to do the thing.
Yeah, lost that ability.
That sort of makes us think, wow, what?
Yeah, that's
I'm
partly because
frightened by
he did so much in the 70s.
Yeah, no, it's not a...
But talking about 1980, I do have a thing that I wanted to talk to you about, which perhaps relates to what you're saying in a way, certainly in terms of putting sitars on a song, which is... I read in my reading of Bowie news... I'm letting light in on magic here. I just look up...
You really are.
Bowie, and I googled news about Bowie, who continues to have news about him despite being dead.
Yeah.
Mark Chapman, the killer of John Lennon,
yeah.
Bowie was next on his hit list. It
Good
says
Lord.
It. And Bowie talked about this in an interview.
Wow.
Now, what interests me about it, it's a very serious interview in which Bowie talks very movingly about his friendship with John Lennon and about how frightening that was to discover that.
Mm.
But I wonder how frightened he should have been, because I don't know if you could have killed John Lennon and then got away with it and then gone, right, now
that's
David
so
Bowie's turn. I really think you'd have to be an extraordinary assassin to be able to do that. I mean, you'd have to be, for a start, you'd have had to be a professional assassin, which is, it's quite unlikely that John Lennon would have been killed by a professional hitman. Not impossible, because he was on the CIA's notice board.
Well,
right, but
they're a bit more cloak and dagger now, I think, aren't they?
they used
to be in every Starbucks on the community board.
Yeah. But my point is, he was likely to be killed by a mad bloke. That's the sort of person who kills John Lennon,
of course.
And he walks up to him outside the Dakota building and tragically just shoots him, because really, he wants the notoriety
That's
of
right.
being killed, killing John Lennon. So the idea that, oh, I'm going to get away with this, having done that kind of murder of one of the most famous people in the world. So I'll put, I better drop a list for the next person.
Even that, by the way, gives it too much rational, doesn't it? He wanted the notoriety. He's just mad, right?
Yes, but, I would say probably subconsciously he wanted the notoriety.
But I suppose the killing of John Lennon is a great tragedy, so we're not suggesting it wasn't for a minute. But if, so I suppose what I could think is, go to America, I'll buy a gun or something, and all I want to do is assassinate celebrities. Mm-hmm. I think probably the most important thing to do is, well, not do what Mark Chapman, just stand there and wait for the police, because he's literally waited around to be arrested and all that, get in a car, go quite quickly past places where you know they're going to hang out and assassinate them and just disappear. You could probably get 2 or 3 under your belt.
Do you think?
I think you get 2 or 3 under your belt.
I don't think so. I think if you kill John Lennon, unless you're, as I say, an incredible professional hitman.
Yeah, but what if you just
drive
past really quickly and no one even
But then you'd have to have an incredible... I mean, you know, I agree. Look, we should say again, terrible tragedy. So we shouldn't really be talking about this. But nonetheless, I think it's okay to imagine. You'd have to have an incredible night, right? Where basically...
Oh, you want to do it all in one night?
Well, you couldn't... Yeah, isn't that what you're saying? You drive past. It's a huge drive-by shooting. I mean, Live Aid would have been great for you.
That's true.
If you'd somehow got into Wembley in Live Aid and you've got a gun, yes, then you could have killed a lot of them.
Yeah.
But just on one night, you're unlikely to find John Lennon and then David Bowie.
No, that's true.
And then whoever was next. Who do you think was next on his hit list?
Do you know what I was thinking of?
Because, I mean, it's very good, really, like top rock stars we're talking about. I wonder if his quality control fell off after David Bowie and he was interested in Midge Ure.
Well... The guy he might put the guy from Flock of Seagulls. Must look him up when Google's invented. Trying to think when I've been in a position where I could have assassinated someone, because we both know, you know, well, you are famous, but famous people. You know, that I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when have I just accidentally found myself
about to kill someone?
No, in a situation where I could, and I was in a restaurant in LA with the table next to us, Elton John, Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon, and someone else who I didn't recognise.
Sharon
I probably
Osbourne.
Would have spared him.
Sharon Osbourne. Yes, you said Sharon as if
no, that's because
just
I said Ozzy Osbourne.
Yes, I know.
And then someone who I would have spared because I didn't recognise them.
Right.
That, you know, so...
I can't believe you've never mentioned this before.
Well,
you had dinner with Elton and Ozzy.
Next to them.
Next to you. But did you think about going over?
Thought about going over.
Yeah, in the way that obviously we know you have done, gone over with Paul McCartney when you're on a plane with him.
I didn't have a Paul moment. I remember...
If it had been Paul, you would have gone, right?
I think restaurants
You might have
different.
Said, do you remember me from the plane?
I think restaurants are different. That feels really... Oddly, even though they're very open, I mean, the only person I think I've gone up to in a restaurant and said something was... Pippa, my wife, and I were having dinner at an Italian restaurant in London, and 2 or 3 tables away were probably the most famous couple in the world. Well, okay, no.
When was this?
2000, early 2000s, mid-2000s?
It was 19 a minute ago.
Yeah, I think I was...
Early 2000s are the most famous couple.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say they're still one of the most famous couples in the world, but I don't think you'll get it because there's obviously lots of famous couples.
Well, they're still a couple.
Yes.
They're still a couple, and they're still the most famous couple in the world.
I would say
the most famous couple in the world are Kanye West and Kim Kardashian.
Okay.
And it wasn't them.
It's not them.
Yeah.
But they are in the same sort of universe as them.
Okay, so they're rock star,
sort of
model. It wasn't Bowie and Imam.
No, they're both in music.
Okay.
They're American.
They're American, okay.
They're literally massively famous. They're in, I mean, I think older people would call them rap.
They work together. They rap. They're rappers.
Yeah, I mean, they're bigger than that, but I mean, that seems to
Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Yes.
Oh, right. You know, the only thing that confused me there was 2000s. I would have said them, but I just wouldn't have thought of them in early 2000s as the biggest.
The next night Jay-Z was going to play Glastonbury. So when was that?
Oh, so that wasn't that long ago. Feel like that long ago.
No, maybe it's 10 years.
Okay, so fine. So Jay-Z and
they are having
Beyonce.
They are having dinner.
Yeah.
2 or 3 tables away, and. Obviously,
what restaurant is this?
This is called Locanda Locatelli. In fact, Giorgio Locatelli, a celebrity chef, suppose.
Yeah.
And so we're having dinner in there. And at the beginning, we're just thinking that it's wonderful. They're mega stars, and isn't that interesting and all the rest of it. And then obviously I have a couple of glasses of wine. I'm thinking I'm definitely going to say something.
That would be so brilliant if you had. Particularly to them, because I think of them as, I'll be honest with you, less approachable than almost anyone that we've mentioned.
I couldn't
except
agree more.
Possibly Kanye and
Kim. I did not
but certainly
underestimate
like Paul McCartney or people who you might. I think of them as quite hard to approach.
Yeah, definitely. And I was under no illusion as to what the challenge here was.
Yeah.
Because, as you say, they're not... But they are having dinner in a restaurant. And, of course, as a member of the public, you sort of slightly think, well, they're not hiding away.
Mm.
And
so it's okay for me, slightly drunk, to go up and interrupt their dinner.
I'd say tipsy.
Right.
Because it wasn't... I wouldn't say drunk. I'd maybe a couple of glasses tipsy. Of wine. And
I never say tipsy, but...
No, right. But when I get over there, I wasn't sort of staggering and...
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter, does it, whether I was staggering or not? I have been drunk before.
Yeah, I wasn't drunk. It does matter because I think if you're going to approach Jay-Z and you're actually staggering and drunk, he might kill you.
Well, I wasn't staggering and drunk. That's the main, you know, but I did feel a bit more confident than I would have done if I hadn't had a drink.
Right, okay.
And what I realise is we're about to finish and go, and I can see that the key moment is that I can see that to get out of the restaurant, we have to go past their table.
Right.
And so I was sort of thinking, now going to happen.
It's the moment where you say something.
Something's going to be said.
Did you think, I'm going to just say something, or I'm going to slightly contrive a moment? Because what you could have done was like slightly bump into their table.
Well, and that's high risk.
Yeah, it is high risk, but say, sorry, oh, wow, you know, Jay. Right. Did you call him Jay or Z? I'm not sure. Jay, Z, you know, Beyonce, you know, lovely to see you. Like, you could just do that if you bumped into their table.
Well, I would really worry about pulling that off and it looking
shit. Yeah.
So I discounted that. Well, I didn't even think
about that. I didn't even think about that. Okay.
I thought, and I was really clear in my mind that I must not linger in any shape or form.
Yeah.
So what was your plan? Okay, well, my plan, this is all happening in split seconds.
Right.
So it was, I was going running on instinct.
Yeah.
I don't think it was very pre-planned, but two things. One is I made sure, it doesn't really work, that my body language was such that it was clear I was going to continue moving.
Right.
So I didn't stand...
So whatever you were going to say, it was a hit and run.
It was a hit and run, exactly. Yeah. I think that's a good way of putting it. So I was really clear to sort of be I'm angling in front of you here, but it was obvious my body was going out the door, not zoning in on them.
Okay. I mean, that in itself is slight. I mean, I get why you would do that, but I don't know what it is that you could say in that time.
I can tell you.
Right.
I will tell you.
Okay.
In the next podcast. No.
No, don't. Just tell me now.
One after that?
I just want to know.
I said, no, I didn't say... I mean, what I said was pretty obvious.
No,
I
said something. You actually did say something. Oh.
You'll kick yourself. It's so obvious what you should say. Remember,
did you have a nice evening?
No. He's playing Glastonbury the next day.
Oh, right.
So what I actually said was, and this I felt made me feel a bit professional because it's not about how famous you are. And I said, probably something like, I don't mean to interrupt,
I don't know how slow you were moving or fast, but if you're going to go for I don't mean to interrupt, you have to stop. If you're just going to go, good luck at Glastonbury,
the door, It wasn't that. It was more the former. I definitely... But I think my body was angled, like I dropped my shoulder, like a sort of...
What, like you were trying to get past him at a football match?
But in a way, to show that, don't worry, my centre of gravity is taking me out the door.
Yeah, don't worry, Jay-Z.
I'm not sitting down at your table kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know if I would have said, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but let's say I said that. It was something like that, just a little placeholder. And I said, I just wanted to wish you all the best for playing Glastonbury tomorrow.
Right, right. And what did he say?
And he said, I can't believe it was so brilliant. He said, almost like a prayer, he put his hand, thank you, man.
Oh.
Like that.
That's nice.
It was really nice.
Yeah.
And
Beyonce said, fuck off.
She might have said, I felt like they were both, she said thank you as well, you know. I said, well, I didn't mean you, he's doing it. No. And I mean, this is all absolutely in the heat of the moment.
Oh, having done well.
No, having done well, but I've not, I wasn't.
Because imagine if. You thought, well, I'm not going to get anything but yeah, whatever, or even not even anything. Having got a proper response, like a nice response,
you'd think that would be enough.
Oh, now I'm going to sit down. Now I'm going to sit down and chat. Imagine that. Actually, if you'd completely misinterpreted his politeness and you thought, we're mates.
No, best if I sat down and then just flicked for the waiter, another bottle of wine. I'm going to be a couple of hours. I actually said... It sounds bad that I said this. I can't really believe I said that, but I know I did say this. I said, I mean, this is ridiculous, as if I've played
How
it.
Bad is it? It's such a shame they've not gone for a proper rock star. Because there was a lot of people being stupid about that.
This is quite a rubbish Spinal Tap type thing to say. I said, they're a great crowd. which is
well, like you'd played it.
Yeah, totally. Or like somehow I don't worry. Okay. And I think what I was trying to say was,
do you think he looked at you again and thought, oh, maybe it's Phil Collins? Not that Phil Collins ever played Glastonbury, as it happens.
I think what I was trying to tap into,
he was the pop star I thought of as a little like you.
Right. By the way, yeah. No, it was either that or Jacko from Brushstrokes, so I get it. What I was trying to tap into was, there was a lot, do you remember, there was a lot of controversy about Jay-Z.
Yes, that's what I was saying, is that a lot of quite annoying people.
Right, annoying people.
Said he shouldn't be playing it because he's not like a big white rock star, basically.
And I think what I was trying to say is, it's brilliant you're doing it and it'll go really well.
Yeah.
You know. Which, but I didn't say that. I said they're a great crowd. Yeah, and he said,
"Sorry, quite a long conversation."
And she said,
I "Can't believe you kept this from me."
No. What I remember now is this is when she spoke, and she said, "We're really excited."
Right,
and that's when I left.
That means leave.
Well, I did leave. I don't know if it meant leave, but
I think that means leave. I think that's her drawing a line on the conversation in a very nice way.
Yeah,
saying, "Yeah, we're really excited."
But I'd like to give myself some credit, which is I was inviting them to end the conversation. I wasn't.
Yeah. They're a great crowd. I love what you said, they're a great crowd. Because I wonder if they, after you went, they thought, oh, maybe he's like someone who played Glastonbury, but we didn't. Perhaps they felt bad.
It's almost like I'm saying they're a great crowd. Trust me.
Maybe he's like in David Bowie's band.
Yeah. Does he?
Although David Bowie, I mean, he played it in 2000, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they thought about me after I'd left. No. I think
maybe for a second.
But
is the assumption there? Okay, that bloke's been to Glastonbury. That's what he means. Because they're a great crowd isn't something I think that you would naturally say if you've just been in an audience. That's something that you say as an artist. I say it if I'm playing a comedy club. Right. And I say, oh, yeah, it's a great room. It's whatever. You know, that's you'll be all right there.
I hope they didn't think that because that is quite Partridge. Because I hope they didn't think that's what I...
Can I be honest with you? The whole thing is a little Partridge. It's a little Partridge.
But
they're a great crowd.
If Jay-Z... is writing an autobiography.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be in it.
No, I don't think it's in the... I definitely don't think it'll be in it. But if the publisher said, look, the thing that really works here is the whole Glastonbury story. What else can you remember? I don't think I'd even be in the next draft.
No.
Or maybe the one after. But if they kept saying, you just need a little bit more, on what happened.
And he really thinks back.
She might say, actually...
bloke.
We were in Locanda Locatelli, and the guy...
His bald
and that's
bloke came
when
up
we
to
knew...
Us. Yeah, and actually, maybe Jay-Z could say, and he'd be making it up, but just because his publisher wants more gear about Glastonbury, he'd be completely making it up, but he can make a story, a bit like we talked about in the last one, about how you sort of like talk stuff up.
Yeah,
I was really nervous about playing Glastonbury. Right. You know, we'd gone out for dinner beforehand. I was talking to Bay. Is that what he calls her? Bay.
Yeah,
I was talking to Bay about how is it going to work? There's been a lot of controversy. I don't know. You know, I've never played a festival in Britain this size. Is it going to go well? And she couldn't like find a way of reassuring me. Then this guy,
Phil Collins
came up to me and said, "They're a great crowd," and that was it. I knew they would be.
I admit that would be draft 100, you know, but it could get in.
Yeah. What if he said, "I thought he was a waiter."
Well.
And I was quite annoyed because
what's
an Italian dessert?
Tiramisu.
My tiramisu hadn't appeared and I was about to say, can you go and get it? And then I realised it was just a fan.
I think if it gets in, it gets in as Phil Collins. And then I write a totally respectful note to Harper Collins and say, look, no big deal, but it was me. My name's Amix. And then in the next edition, they say, correction, it wasn't Phil Collins, it was Tim Hinks.
It was Tim Hinks.
And so I'm a long way,
it's a great story.
But I'm in.
I have my own, but it's nothing like as good. So it's a bit weird to follow it.
Right.
You know, really, I should have told you this story. Okay. And then you should have told me the Beyonce Jay-Z story, which is great. But the only rock star I've bumped into in a restaurant, I think that's a lie. I once had dinner in quite a similar way at the River Cafe, and Ronnie and Joe Wood were having dinner.
Oh, that's good,
Well, it wasn't that good because they weren't speaking to each other and they split up soon afterwards.
Not so good.
Not so good. Although, obviously, you see lots of old couples, and afraid I'm going to call them not speaking to each other at dinner in restaurants.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, they're just happy being silent with each other. Yes, that's true. I was in a sushi place in Los Angeles, and Chris Martin was just leaving of Coldplay. And he said hello. We'd never met, but he said hello, and I said hello, and it was nice to meet him. And then he said, come and see us. We're playing here, not at the sushi restaurant. That would have been a small venue for Coldplay. We're playing here in LA tomorrow. And I couldn't go because I was leaving the next day. So I just said, no, I can't. We're leaving. And he said, no, come. It'll be great. And he was quite keen that I should come. And then he said, and
so remember this?
This is a bit
roughly.
This is like 8 years ago. Okay. Actually, no, it wasn't 8 years ago. Was it when me and Moore when I got married? So that was 2015. It was like maybe only 5 years ago.
Okay.
So 5 years ago. And he was quite keen that I should come. I mean, a slightly kind of like, I don't think he was that bothered, but slightly sort of
I'm enjoying the fact he sort of came back and said, no, you must come.
Yeah, he did. And then he said, come on, you really want to see us? We're the ninth best band in the world.
Wow.
Right? And it was indicative way. It's not as funny as your story, but what is indicative way of who Chris Martin is, which is he's the self-deprecating rock star, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's the slightly ironically self-deprecating guy next door rock star in that it's like, I can't really think of a rock star who would have said that. Like Ozzy Osbourne in his prime would not have said that about Black Sabbath. Or
but do you think
Jay-Z would not have said, I'm the ninth best rapper in the world?
No.
When you said, you know.
But do you think.
Because he might have said, come to Glastonbury if there's such a great crowd. And you said, oh, I can't come. I've, you know, got stuff to do in London. He wouldn't have said, well, come on, I'm the ninth best rapper in the world.
No. But was it because you're a comedian? Was he doing a bit of, oh, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be jokey with you, do you think, as well? Like here's
I
something.
I think especially. I mean, a bit possibly, but I think no. He might. You know, I might have been a television presenter.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know each. We only knew each other of both being known.
How do you think it in your heightened circles and examples like that? How if you'd have said, oh yeah, we'd love to because you happen to be around. What would happen next?
Well, I'll tell you what would have been complicated.
How would the tickets work?
Well, that would have been complicated.
Yeah.
Because without question. I would have thought, well, now you've invited me, Chris, and also my family, who are all here, you're going to have to stump up free tickets.
Yeah, well that's what he meant, though,
definitely
right?
Definitely have thought that.
He didn't mean, like, go online and get tickets, it'd be great for you, did he?
Yeah, well, no, I don't think so, but he was just leaving the restaurant, so it would have been quite awkward.
That's what I mean, how would
to
you...
To say, right, so should I get in touch with your PA or the record company or the venue? I mean, how's this going to work?
That's what I mean.
That would have been complicated, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's no question being me, because Morwenna would have been, you know, mortified if I'd done this, but I would have done it if I'd said, right, well, where should we get the free tickets from, essentially?
Yeah.
Chris.
Yeah, and then I think...
Because if there'd been some embarrassment about that, if he said, oh, blah, 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 I'm not sure, I'd have gone, well, come on, you're only the ninth best band in the world.
Exactly.
It's not like you're the seventh best band in the world, I'll pay for them.
You would have had to, it would have been difficult. You would have had to say, this is the person you call. I mean, actually, it's unthinkable. So maybe he was just throwing it out there and he didn't really mean it. I don't mean that he was being tricky, but it was just a nice thing to say to you.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
We may never know whether Chris Martin meant it that we should come and see him. But he did keep going. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said, we're the ninth best band in the world. But that might have been just part of like the comedy of it, in his point of view.
Yeah.
Of like David Baddiel said no. I've said to him, come and see us. We're playing in LA tomorrow. David Baddiel said no.
Yeah.
But it was because we were leaving. I probably, had we been in Los Angeles for another night, I would definitely have gone and seen Coldplay.
To your point that, you know, couples not talking, you know, can mean it's Joe and Ronnie Wood and tragically and sadly they're on, you know, they're splitting up.
Yeah.
It can also mean is it like utterly comfortable and rather beautiful and, you know, just a peace.
They're very comfortable at each other's silence.
And there's a restaurant in North London called Lemonia, which is a lovely Greek restaurant, and I was in there again with Pippa, my wife.
Well, that's okay. You're saying that like that's surprising, but quite often.
No, I was thinking
the most likely person you'll be in a restaurant with will be your wife.
I was with Pippa, and next to us, and I'm sure you've been there. The tables are quite close there. Together. You know,
quite close together. Like sometimes you're all scrunched up.
Yeah, and we were. Is it Hugger Mugger?
Are you a Hugger Mugger?
Weird.
Yes, you were Hugger Mugger. With someone from the Hair Bear Bunch.
It does seem completely ridiculous. We were hugger-mugger, cheek by jowl, with Bobby Gillespie out of Primal Scream.
Yes.
And his wife.
Okay.
Well, I don't know, but anyway, his partner.
Right.
And I think they were there, you know, when we sat down, but basically they were, if anything, halfway through the hummus. They were at the beginning.
Halfway through the hummus?
They were at the beginning.
Well, there's two things to say there.
Which
one is
the album before Screamadelica.
Yeah. Also sounds a bit like Hugger Mugger. And by the way, who says hummus? It's hummus.
Sorry, hummus. Is it?
It's definitely hummus.
Well, sorry. Okay, hummus.
Yeah.
Hummus.
I mean, I'm saying it with a bit of a kh.
Yeah.
Because it is originally, of course, a Middle Eastern dish.
Of course.
Yeah.
He was halfway through the hummus.
Yeah.
So, in other words, we basically had our meals in parallel. They had a, it's not a race, but they had a head start.
Right. Yeah,
I thought, I bet we can catch
that sound
them
a bit like.
Come on, Pippa, I bet we can catch up.
Is there
up
a Scale Electrics version of it?
I bet we can catch this guy up. Yeah. But through the entirety of the meal, this is why it doesn't really work on a podcast for two reasons. One is, this is what happened during the entirety of their meal.
Just show me. Oh, just nothing. They didn't speak.
Didn't speak.
Right. I think you could have said they didn't speak.
I know, but I was trying to give you a
this
sense.
This is what happened, and then leaving.
I was trying to give you a sense of how...
How silent it was.
Silent.
Right.
So they're silent throughout. I guess they must have ordered it anyway, but they basically were silent.
They weren't silent during the order.
They were. they weren't silent, I don't
Unless
think.
It was like a monk's order.
Maybe they'd already ordered first.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, does it?
No.
They're in silence. And so the point being, I'm sure we didn't say this because we were hugger-mugger with them. But I remember thinking, that's a relationship, you know, like, yes, God. And I didn't know who his partner, I don't know his partner now, but I thought maybe it's just a girlfriend. He's, you know, that he doesn't even mean that much. I thought it's disastrous. Entirely silent. And then at the end of the meal, when they're having coffee, and we've probably caught up with them, we're having coffee.
Right, it's not a race.
We've probably got the bill.
Yeah.
But this is the bit that doesn't work. Right. So I'll do it first what happened, and then maybe we say... Bobby Gillespie looked at her.
His partner.
His partner. Pippa. And went...
Okay, so I should explain what Tim did there. He touched his heart.
Patted his heart
and pointed at her in a way that sounds affectionate. Sounds
very
like,
affectionate.
Like, I love you.
I love you. It's sort of...
Yeah, I mean, it might have meant,
yeah,
I haven't got my wallet. Can't find any way. You have to pay.
Or, where are the Rennies? I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, some, like Frank Skinner, used to do quite a big comedy thing every time I went for a dinner with him of patting his jacket, meaning I can't find my wallet, you'll have to pay. He might have been doing that.
I don't think he was doing that. He might even have done that, by the way. Actually, no, I think he did that.
Okay, so just to explain, Tim is now making his hand into a fist, bending his arm at the elbow, and hitting tapping.
So it's
his,
like, you're in my heart, isn't it? Or my heart is yours.
You're in my heart, but it also looks a little bit like something from Star Trek. It looks like something the Klingons might do as their symbol of being a Klingon.
Yeah, I think it could have been that. He then went...
Well, that's a good Scottish accent. It's a very good Scottish accent. It's like, did he go Space Cattle?
Space Cattles are good. And pointed at her. In other words, the most loving gesture... And then they sort of left. And I thought, wow, that's utterly beautiful.
So,
well, not utterly beautiful, that's a bit strong. But I thought, oh, very affectionate. They're obviously deeply in love.
What we don't know, of course, is whether or not his girlfriend is deaf and they communicate by sign language, which perhaps they have been doing throughout the meal and you just didn't know.
But by the way, oh, I see. No, they weren't communicating by sign language, I would spot. So even if she was deaf, it was still a loving gesture. And so I thought, you just can't tell when people are comfortable and, you know.
Yeah. I mean...
Do you want to do it now?
What? Just see if we're comfortable. I'd like to do that. I think it wouldn't be great for the list. Well, let's try. No, I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not comfortable with it, partly because your face is making me laugh, and partly because people have to listen to this. Right. I mean, not many of them,
but
the ones who do, you know, I don't know that we can sit here in silence. I mean, it's pushing the envelope. It's pushing the podcast envelope.
I think it's an affectionate gesture, and if you're not willing to, you know, if you're, you know, rejecting it, we've got work to do.
I'm not rejecting you. I'm rejecting, you know, I don't think Bobby Gillespie and his partner.
Yeah.
I mean, no one was listening to them apart from you.
No.
Be silent.
Yeah. No. We it was striking how much it looked. I couldn't believe he wasn't scurrying to finish and get the bill. It looked so awkward. Yeah. And it turns out.
I mean, to be honest with you, some of Bobby Gillespie's singing and some of his opinions.
His opinions have been slightly odd recently.
Yeah, may have led that his girlfriend, straight wife, to say, you know what, I think it might be better if you don't talk.
We'll have dinner, but only if it's in silence.
Yeah, let's not talk. Let's see how that works out.
And
if we're close enough to just hang out in silence, Bobby. I mean, it's nothing to do with things you've said recently. No, don't think that. Just let's see if we as a couple can hang out in silence.
And do not ruin it by asking for the indigestion tablets at the end, because then we're finished.
Inside language. I feel we've come to an end.
No, I was just thinking... Perhaps, for us, slightly,
not somber note, but just sort of like...
I think it's somber.
We've just sort of come to rest, haven't we? The end of that story. So we'll see you for another...
It did seem to be a hard stop somehow. I don't know why that is.
Yeah. So good night, God bless, and thank you for goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.